For a long time there was silence and no apparent movement. Then Ralph peered into the gloom and made out the hands. He spoke flatly. "I see." The world, that understandable and lawful world, was slipping away. Once there was this and that, and now, and the ship had gone. The conch was snatched from his hands, and Piggy's voice shrilled, "I didn't vote for no ghosts." He whirled round on the assembly. "Remember that, all of you," they heard him stamp. "What are we, humans, or animals, or savages? What's grown-ups going to think? Going off hunting pigs, letting fires out, and now..." A shadow fronted him tempestuously. "You shut up, you fat slug." There was a moment's struggle, and the glimmering conch jigged up and down. Ralph leapt to his feet. "Jack, Jack, you haven't got the conch. Let him speak." Jack's face swam near him. "And you shut up. Who are you anyway, sitting there, telling people what to do? You can't hunt, you can't sing." "I'm chief. I was chosen." "Why should choosing make any difference? Just giving orders that don't make any sense." "Piggy's got the conch." "That's right. Favour Piggy, as you always do." "Jack." Jack's voice sounded in bitter mimicry. "Jack, Jack." "The rules," shouted Ralph. "You're breaking the rules." "Who cares?" Ralph summoned his wits. "Because the rules are the only thing we've got." But Jack was shouting against him. "Bollocks to the rules. We're strong. We hunt. If there's a beast, we'll hunt it down. We'll close in and beat and beat and beat." He gave a wild whoop and leapt down to the pale sand. At once the platform was full of noise and excitement, scrambling, screams and laughter. The assembly shredded away and became a discursive and random scatter from the palms to the water and away along the beach beyond night sight. Ralph found his cheek touching the conch and took it from Piggy. "What's grown-ups going to say?" cried Piggy again. "Look at 'em!" The sound of mock hunting, hysterical laughter and real terror came from the beach. "Blow the conch, Ralph!" Piggy was so close that Ralph could see the glint of his one glass. "There's the fire. Can't they see?" "You've got to be tough now. Make 'em do what you want." Ralph answered in the cautious voice of one who rehearses a theorem. "If I blow the conch and they don't come back, then we've had it. We shan't keep the fire going. We'll be like animals. We'll never be rescued." "If you don't blow, we'll soon be animals anyway. I can't see what they're doing, but I can hear." The dispersed figures had come together on the sand and were a dense black mass that revolved. They were chanting something, and Littlans that had had enough were staggering away, howling. Ralph raised the conch to his lips, then lowered it. "The trouble is, are there ghosts, Piggy? Or beasts?" "Course there aren't." "Why not?" "Because things wouldn't make sense. Houses and streets and TV, they wouldn't work." The dancing, chanting boys had worked themselves away, till their sound was nothing but a wordless rhythm. "But suppose they don't make sense, not here on this island. Supposing things are watching us and waiting." Ralph shuddered violently and moved closer to Piggy so that they bumped frighteningly. "You stop talking like that. We got enough trouble, Ralph, and I've had as much as I can stand. If there is ghosts..." "I ought to give up being chief." "Hear 'em." "Oh, Lord, no." Piggy gripped Ralph's arm. "If Jack was chief, he'd have all hunting and no fire. We'd be here till we died." His voice ran up to a squeak. "Who's that sitting there?"
"Me. Simon." "Fat lot of good we are," said Ralph. "Three blind mice. I'll give up."
"If you give up," said Piggy in an appalled whisper, "what had happened to me?"
"Nothing.
He hates me. I don't know why. If he could do what he wanted, you're all right. He respects you. Besides, you did him."
"You were having a nice fight with him just now."
"I had the conch," said Piggy simply. "I had a right to speak."
Simon stirred in the dark.
"Go on being chief."
"You shut up, young Simon. Why couldn't you say there wasn't a beast?"
"I'm scared of him," said Piggy. "That's why I know him."
"If you're scared of someone, you hate him, but you can't stop thinking about him. You kid yourself he's all right, really,
And then when you see him again, it's like asthma and you can't breathe. I'll tell you what, he hates you too, Ralph.
Me? Why me?
I don't know. You got him over the fire and you're chief and he isn't.
But he's...
Jack married you. I've been in bed so much, I've done some thinking. I know about people. I know about me. And him. He can't hurt you, but if you stand out of the way, he'd hurt the next thing. And that's me. Biggie's right, Ralph. There's you and Jack. Go on being chief. We're all drifting and things are going rotten. At home there was always a grown-up. Please, sir, please, miss. And then you got an answer. How I wish. I wish my auntie was here. I wish my father... Oh, what's the use? Keep the fire going. The dance was over. The hunters were going back to the shelters. Grown-ups know things, said Piggy. They ain't afraid of the dark. They'd meet and have tea and discuss. Then things would be all right. They wouldn't set fire to the island or lose. They'd build a ship. The three boys stood in the darkness, striving unsuccessfully to convey the majesty of adult life. They wouldn't quarrel, or break my specs, or talk about a beast. If only they could get a message to us, cried Ralph desperately. If only they could send us something grown up, a sign or something. A thin wail out of the darkness chilled them and set them grabbing for each other. Then the wail rose, remote and unearthly, and turned to an inarticulate gibbering. Percival Weems Madison, of the vicarage Harcourt St. Anthony, lying in the long grass, was living through circumstances in which the incantation of his address was powerless to help him.